Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hail Cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. I keep waiting for these fixtures to turn festive, Josh. Every week I'm like, are we there yet? Yeah. And, you know, we certainly had major downbeat news with Tom Lockyer this weekend.
Yes.
And we're wishing the best for him. But also, like, there was kind of a pall cast over the FPL game as a part of that. And listen, we're just trying to rustle up some eggnog and have a good time.
Yeah. Well, this weekend, it was, I didn't feel festive when I found out that Isak had a mystery injury. Every year this happens, that you have these kind of mystery injuries that nobody talks about. For whatever reason, I had a unique ability to bring that player into my squad this season. It sort of took a punt on him. It didn't really work out. I would say I'm feeling festive as a person. I'm feeling, was this a festive round of matches? I would say no. Yeah, and then you had obviously the situation Bournemouth-Luton where, I would say you and I, our goal on this spot is to always to make fantasy fun again, to focus on the positive. I think we should briefly mention the Tom Lockyer situation and just wish him the best. And it brought back really painful memories of Euro 2020 with Christian Eriksen. I have such a strong memory of that moment because I remember watching with my mom and who like never watches soccer/football ever. And she was like, wait, what's going on there? Yeah. Cause there was a moment there where you're like, oh my God, is this person going to, expire on the pitch? It was a horrible moment. With Lockyer, and unfortunately it's the second time it's happened with him. And so it was, really scary moment. I think ended up becoming a lot of classic social media, right, where it immediately turns into like a meta debate. And I guess I was partially responsible for some of this because I did ask what the fantasy game does when a match is abandoned. And then I sort of got a lot of people mad at me for saying that. I don't, whatever. And then it was, I bet, you were saying before we started the pod that I was in the wars and I didn't feel like it. I felt like I tweeted something and then a bunch of people got mad at me and then a bunch of people responded to the backlash. And it's like the classic thing where by the end of the day, there were way more people who were actually responding to the initial response. Right. And so it was sort of, it's hard to say what we sort of 50-50 in the end, but unfortunately it's now been 36 hours and we still don't really know what's going to happen. It's a Sunday evening. They haven't done auto subs yet. We don't know if the points are going to count. We don't know if bonus points are going to go in. We really don't know anything yet in that situation. And I said this earlier today, and I know you don't necessarily completely agree with me in this, but I it does feel like the communication could have been a little bit better. They could have at least told us that they were waiting, told us what they were doing. It was like they sort of waited until an hour after the game week ended to send out like a one-line statement and kind of felt like it was like coded in legalese, sort of explaining what's going on. And I felt like it could have been a little more communication about what was happening because everyone was sort of left in the lurch for 36 hours. And obviously in no way is this more important than the actual player's health. But I mean, this is, it's a business. Like, the Premier League and, it's all, unfortunately you have to be able to hold two ideas in your head at once, right? The idea of like, of sympathy and concern, and then also the kind of practical matter of how you're going to resolve this question. And they kind of haven't yet, which,
from the business point of view, I think the Premier League, has to lead because first of all, the league to whatever degree is responsible for the players' physical health and the mental well-being. And also the clubs, the clubs are going to want to figure out what they want to do for the purposes of the league table. If you abandon this match, are we going to replay it? Are we going to start it from the 65th minute? Or are we just going to take it as a 1-1 draw? I can't imagine a scenario in which the FPL game would be allowed to go off on their own and sort of set some sort of precedent. Hold two ideas. The FPL game is separate from the league. Who's to say the FPL game can't do something different? But they are quite intimately tied because they're from the same company. And I think the game it's fine for them to just wait for the Premier League to decide what to do. Give them a few days, right?
If they do in the next couple of days, I mean, are they going to make a decision by Wednesday when the game week has to end because the next game week kicks off? And if not, do they just sort of wait out the clock and I just never do auto subs? Like, at some point they have to make a decision. And so maybe the Premier League decides what to do. I mean, it seems, extremely clear that they're just going to replay the fixture. I think the fact that it was a draw already. I don't know. So it seems to me like that's almost certainly what's going to happen here, but I guess it's fine. It's okay that they're waiting another day or so to decide what to do. I do kind of wish that they were communicating what was happening a little bit better, but I don't know. Maybe they saw what happened to me when I asked about points, and they they got scared.
We're just fantasy jokers. We don't need to know what's going on.
I mean, sure, but why even do this pod then? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Of course none of this matters. The only thing that matters is
family. I'm not saying
health.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying we're not going to be the first
game,
to know.
It's like, but it's like if you play that game, it's like, what's the point of doing any of this? It's like, I'm just curious, like literally what's going to happen to the game that we do a podcast about twice a week. And I'm not sure why that's like a ridiculous question to ask.
There's curiosity and I feel like, Josh, you're being a little impatient, and I know you well enough to know that when you're a dog with a bone, and that's what I love about you. So
I'm just not a sentimental person. I think that's what it comes down to. And the Premier League, it's a sentimental kind of league, right? This is the same league that canceled a weekend of fixtures because the Queen's nephew was a patron of the arts, right? I can see why they don't want to come off as insensitive or anything like that. And that must be what's happening here. So fair enough. I'm just too much of an American for this kind of stuff, I guess. You're a little gentler, I think.
Perhaps that's right. FPL guy asked a question as such: can we clarify in no uncertain terms that form a total objective and unbiased point of view? It would be absolutely unacceptable, wrong, against the FPL spirit, bad for the game, and unreasonable to take Solanke points from us. Now, let's predict. We've kind of like set our piece in terms of where we're at with this situation. Now let's do some real predictions about where we think this game week 17 will be by Thursday when game week 18 kicks off. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, and I mean, I hope we don't wake up tomorrow and everyone listens to this pod and it's all been resolved. We're just speculating here, but I guess I think that there's at least a chance. It's so interesting the way it happened. I mean, it's sort of, the whole thing's obviously just really unfortunate, but the fact that Solanke became the most bought player this week, right? And so it was sort of a unique situation. Like a million people brought him in, and minutes before Lockyer had the incident, he scored a goal and he was on target for 3 bonus points. And so it's a pretty significant decision, right? What they actually do fantasy wise in terms of the actual game itself. So it's sort of interesting because if it was just even a couple of weeks ago, a Bournemouth Luton game would not have been quite so explosive in terms of what decision they were going to make. Right. But because now he's one of the most owned forwards in the game, it does become a slightly bigger factor. So I think what they'll probably do if they make a decision that the game is going to be fully replayed, I think they probably treat it like an abandoned game and they reset the points to 0 and do auto subs. I think that would be really, really unlucky for everybody who brought Solanke in. I don't know how else to, like, again, this is what I think will happen. It's not what I want to happen. Sure. I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. I mean, I've been looking at these, you know, like Live FPL and FPL Gaming and all these sites, and they all have factored in Solanke's points. So it's like, I've already made my peace with him sort of affecting my rank. Like, it does not, you know, and so I don't know. I don't know what the fair thing to do is, I guess. I mean, can you give him 3 bonus points for a match that isn't completed? I mean, it's probably fine. Yes. I mean, is that like, if they do a full, I mean, I guess the question is, if they do a full replay, is that a double game week? Or I guess the other way to do it would be, they consider this a completed match, right? And they allocate bonus points accordingly.
Yeah.
And then they have this replay that happens at some point. And that is basically just a match that doesn't count from a fantasy perspective. That would be one other way to do it, right? It's just like, it's just not on the fixture calendar. It's just not, no. You know, it's that might be one way to do it.
The other would be the sort of COVID rules of, it would be Luton v Bournemouth plus, like when they did game week 33 plus, game week 34 plus.
Right.
I would not be surprised, honestly, to see them just close the game week, not allocate the bonus points, and give whoever's scored their points by the 65th minute those points. And then there is an opportunity down the line for people to bring in Luton and Bournemouth players for a double game week. So for those who had these players in game week 17, they can double dip. I mean, why not? Yeah. That actually seems, in the always cheating parlance, the more fun way to do it. Let's give everyone an opportunity to have more points.
Yeah, that does seem like the most fun way to do it. So let's end our discussion, our non-discussion on that note, Brandon. And game week 17 in the books. Looking ahead to game week 18, there's no Man City, there's no Brentford in game week 18. There was no Holland this weekend either. That was a huge source of late drama on Friday, you know, tracking his planes and all that stuff, trying to see if he was going to. Then Pep even threw in a little note at the end. Well, maybe he'll surprise me, right? It was sort of like just give everybody a little bit of doubt. Although, honestly, that's more than Eddie Howe gives us, so I'll take
it,
right?
Yeah.
So I think my game week was a bit of a dud. I got to be honest with you. It was a pretty tough one. And Fabian Schär going down with an injury. Areola didn't play again. Isak, surprise mystery injury. It was a week where, in hindsight, I really should have just like burned 4 or 8, right? And just kind of remade my team. And but I kind of like the way my team looked. I mean, I ended up bringing in Watkins. I got 9 points from him. So that, that worked out well. You know, Alvarez, total bust again, just a total, he's just not a fantasy player, right? He's just not somebody that we should have.
Don't bury the lead there. Who did you bring Watkins in for?
Right, for Haaland. So which even that, I'm sort of like, if I'd known Alvarez was going to blank again, I would have just kept Haaland, right?
Yeah.
And brought in for Alvarez. So so I feel, I mean, so the transfer was great because I turned a non-playing player into a 9-pointer. So I feel good about that. You know, assuming that we do ultimately get auto subs, I'll be on 52 points, which is it's like enough. It's one of those weeks where it's like, I'm actually kind of in like a gray arrow in the game, but in my mini leagues, I got killed, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't have Poro and I don't have Arsenal defenders. And that was a real killer for me this week. So just kind of a rough weekend, I would say. That's without me going in a blocking frenzy on Twitter Saturday afternoon, which was always a fun way to spend your afternoon, especially when you have a cold, just sitting on the couch, just blocking away.
Right.
It was honestly therapeutic. I enjoyed it.
Sometimes you just got to block, you know, sometimes you let people in and sometimes you just have to push them away.
Exactly.
Just like our FPL assets. I fared slightly better. I started off at a disadvantage by taking a -4, and I took that pretty early on in the transfer window. And I brought in Levi Colwell from Chelsea. He came in for Trippier, who wasn't going to play in 17. And then Heung-min Son I brought in for Martinelli. There were many moments during the Arsenal match today where I thought, oh, Martinelli is going to punish me. He had a few golden chances against Brighton, and Brighton are not very stout in defense. But I do feel like my team has been, like you were saying, to take minus transfer penalties, I was able to remake my team just a little bit. Now, Caldwell,
sometimes it's worth. Yep.
Yeah, you've got Gusto, who's healthy again. You could always play Cucurella as a fullback. How sturdy of a starting defender is Caldwell? We'll wait and see. But I've been so enticed by this Chelsea run that I'm now tripled up. And Raheem Sterling, praise Jeebus, actually came through with an attacking mm-hmm. return.
Yeah,
I will take it. Now, Mao, he's meant to be my differential over Cole Palmer, who's the favorite pick, but at least I also have him. Clean sheets.
What a great assist from Palmer. Like heads up play. Just wow, they're like no whistle, just throw the ball back in.
Yeah. 100%. I felt a little bad for Sterling in that Palmer was getting all of the shine from the commentators about being, you know, the city boy. He came from mm-hmm. Man City, and Raheem Sterling is there, you know, kind of messing up chances and doing his thing. Yeah. He's like, hey, yeah. I won a few trophies with that club anyway.
That's true. It's weird how like, it's kind of wild like that he's, yeah, I mean, just the fact that he's been at Liverpool, Man City, and Chelsea is like kind of they're such big clubs to hop around to, right? It's like it's so wild.
Yeah. Yep. He will be remembered. So my auto subs will be Leno coming in for Areola and Lascelles coming in with his clean sheets. I actually am collecting clean sheets. We need to talk a little bit more about defense later on, Josh. I have decided to keep Haaland, and as we look ahead to game week 18. The question is, do I continue to keep him or do I use this as an opportunity to drop? So we can dig into that a little bit farther. I will be on a green arrow regardless of what happens with the Luton-Bournemouth match, and that will be my third green arrow in a row, probably up to 1.3, 1.35 million. Off we go.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm sort of on a gray, as I mentioned. When you looking ahead to 18, though, we'll take some questions from listeners later. But just in your personal squad, what are you thinking right now? What are the transfers that you're considering? What are you looking at?
Sure. Yeah, I think the most straightforward move is to put Solanke in place of Julian Alvarez, and that would be my one free transfer. Yep. And I have a cushion. I have 0.5 in the bank as a cushion there so I can withstand a price change. But I think if I see a price change is about to happen there, I'm just going to go ahead and make it. I mean, if you look at Bournemouth's fixtures, it's really enticing with Solanke in the next two with Forest, and then they host Fulham in game week 19.
Right.
Gets a little trickier.
Even Spurs.
Sure, Spurs are, you know, they've got some injury issues in the defense. So Spurs in 20 and then Liverpool in 21, not great. West Ham, and they get good again. And they sort of reverse it. They play Forest at home and then Fulham away in game week 24. So I think it's going to be a fun roller coaster with Solanke. And if you look just at the top points getters, Solanke is, if you look just at forward, Solanke is the fourth highest, just above, you guessed it, Josh, Kuna at Wolves. Yeah. It's not been a banner year for forwards, but I think Solanke, there we can talk about other options, but I just like where he fits overall in a 3-4-3 budget, and to have like a sort of lower price guaranteed starter who's not and Cameron Archer sort of a guy. So I just feel like he is a long-term hold just for that budget.
Yeah, I like the Solanke pick. I may end up going there myself. I think I also have Alvarez who really has to go. I mean, I just have a number of problems. I mean, I have Isak who may or may not be injured. We honestly just have no idea if he's going to play in that Luton match.
So we haven't heard anything from Eddie Howe about
Shard
what's
just
going?
Said he's. Yeah, he had some kind of like, you know, it's like a thigh, some sort of, you know, hamstring injury that he's been kind of nursing for several weeks, apparently.
Oh, it looks like Char looked like he'd be subbed off in the first half, like for the past three matches that Newcastle have played. He's always coming up with something and playing through it.
Exactly. So Char is, Char is out for sure. I would imagine. And Isak, who knows? Areola, not clear if he's going to play. So that's like three of my 11 right there. It's just like I have just so many problems. And so for me, I'm also just like super frustrated. Like I'm just not my sort of feeling right now about my team is not a happy one. I'm not feeling great about my squad. And so I think I'm going to take at least a minus four just to get some like kind of dead weight out of my squad and try to attack the next couple of game weeks a little bit more. There's a question about wild cards that we're going to get to later. And we can talk about that a little more there too. But I think I just have a couple of problems. You know, I still don't have Poro, which has just been killing me. And so, you know, bringing him in is probably the number one priority for me. And Shard of Poro would be kind of a move that seems kind of easy to make. Mm-hmm. And then a minus four, you know, could be Solanke. It could be that I fix another midfield problem and hold Alvarez, even though I don't really want to. But I mean, the thing is, Man City do have a really, well, I mean, that's actually a good question. How nice is their run? Like, because game week 19, right? So obviously they don't play in 18. They come back from the World Club Cup. And KDB, by the way, was named to that squad. And he was like sitting on the bench with them today. So is Alvarez maybe in a little bit of risk that he might start to get a little, he really hasn't been rotated at all, right?
Yeah, and so he started every match.
Yeah. And you know, and played a lot in Europe as well. So although he's been rotated a lot in Europe. But I think we could maybe see a little more Alvarez rotation coming up. Everton away, I think, is suddenly feeling like a slightly trickier fixture for Man City. Shocking that they dropped points today, right? It was really kind of remarkable. I think they're kind of in a tough spot now. And so I think Everton could give them trouble. I don't see that like that being a match for Man City, especially coming back from this kind of international trip right in the middle of the festive fixture season. Then coming back and just sort of dominating Everton doesn't feel super likely. But then they do play Sheffield at home in game week 20, which obviously is for any club, it's a great fixture, and for them especially. And, you know, away to a kind of damaged Newcastle in game week 21, home to Burnley in game week 22. So if I end up holding Alvarez, I don't see that as a disaster, right? I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like I just said like 5 minutes ago, he's got to go. I mean, the problem is the pool of forwards is super poor at the moment. You talked about Cunha a moment ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it barely goes like six deep, right? It's like, I mean, Alvarez is actually the third highest rated forward in the game. You have Haaland, who's been when healthy is awesome as ever. Watkins, who's been almost as good as Haaland this season, he's been, you know, incredible, so consistent too. And then from there, it's like, okay, you have Solanke who has come on and certainly played well, but I mean, he's got 9 goals in the season, so I'll give him some shine. He's been very good, probably a little underrated. We probably could have talked about him more in the pod. And then from there, you've got Cunha, who's like, you can't trust him fantasy wise. I feel like you have Darwin, who's the ultimate can't trust player, Eduard, Nicholas Jackson, Isak, and Ketia. I mean, there's just like kind of nobody, right? Maybe Gabriel Jesus is sort of flying a little under the radar, right? Because he was injured, missed a bunch of matches early on, has a 9-point return and 11-point return in 2 of the last 3. So, you know, maybe we want to consider him a little bit more.
This is what I liked, what I was kind of intoning talking about Solanke's price. Like, do you want to pay $1 million more just to get the number 9 on the top team in the league? I don't know that you're getting that much more from Gabriel Jesus than you are with Solanke. Can you use that extra $1 million to get to Pedro Porro? Can you use it do something more in your midfield? That's the question I have. I think Gabriel Jesus becomes more intriguing once we're at the tail end of the season and you want that explosive differential.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think like you said, when you talked about bringing him in, I think he does offer a little more balance, and maybe it's a little easier to, I don't know. I mean, it's like, he's probably like slightly benchable as well. Right. So maybe that enables you to go with like a 3-5-2 sometimes. Right. And sort of,
I got to play Suchek one of these days, Josh.
Yeah, you got to play. Yeah, exactly. So that is, So game week 18, again, no Man City, no Brentford. The Brentford thing would have been a lot more relevant if Mbomo hadn't gone down with that injury. But as it is, it actually does kind of affect me because Areola and then Flecken, who I have to say is probably the single worst transfer I think I've ever made in fantasy. I don't honestly know if I've ever made a worse move than bringing him in. I mean, this is on a wild card, so maybe I'll just say he's the worst wild card decision I've ever made. I it has been a joyless own having Flecken in fantasy. And he was actually on for Max Bonus today too. Bones, Brandon, until the red card.
Until he got faced with a good shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, by then it was 11-10, so I guess true. I guess that's something. But I guess I was joking earlier about how and I was joking on Twitter about how I you know, you're getting older when you feel like every red card is a bit harsh, you know, and that's like basically every red card decision. I'm like, that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, like, studs like up just, over the ball, just, pretty harsh.
Well, I just felt like he was going for the ball there, right? I mean, it's sort
that
of like
doesn't
I
know matter, though.
I know, but it's like, and he's been out for three games now because he made like a bad tackle. Like it just feels like a little harsh. I mean, he's their best center back and makes a point. Instant decision, and it just,
But you've got to protect the other player on the if that goes worse, the player on the receiving end of the Ben Mee challenge breaks their leg and they're out for far longer than three matches. So, it's basically a way to police that from not happening as frequently as
That's true. It's like the Pickford Van Dyke thing, right? Where that sort of kind of ended their season, right? When they lost him. So, yeah, fair. I mean, I don't want to get on like a high.
That was such a banter game. I mean, the way at the end it was Neil Maupay versus Emmy Martinez. There are stand-up sets in the middle of Omaha, Nebraska that are funnier than whatever it was that they were doing. That was just obnoxious.
I mean, Emmy was just he went for it with that dive. I mean, the point where you couldn't even be, they didn't even book him for diving, I don't think, which is incredible. It was such a funny, it was just too funny. I think they just were like, let's just let this go.
At the end, when Emmy got frustrated that Maupay was trying to out Emmy Martinez him and then tried to pull his shirt off of his back, and then everyone just freaks out. It was
Constant gets a red. Well, yeah, then you had
Kamara got the red.
Kamara, excuse me. Yeah. And and then I mean, Watkins probably started a little bit of it, to be honest. But apparently he said he was responding to somebody in the stands who was giving him some abuse. And so,
Thomas Frank lectured him at the final whistle, which was just like dumb. Like, get out of here, Dad. Yeah. Let this man
cook. If you literally stand in the goal of your opponent and cross your arms and look to the stands after scoring the game, winning goal, like, you got to expect someone to come up and like give you like a hard shoulder, right? Like, people do not like that. Like, that's, you know, that's not going
to. Everyone, fine. Everyone gets to say their piece, and Ollie Watkins gets to go home and sleep very soundly tonight. So that's true.
All right. So this is a lot of, we talked about a lot of drama. We talked about our teams. It's time to look ahead to Game Week 18. First though, Brendan, I want to just do one final shout out. I guess this might end up being our last holiday pod that some of you listen to. We're trying to figure out when we're going to do our next one. Unfortunately, the Always Stream podcast comes out on Monday mornings, as everybody knows. But next Sunday is Christmas Eve. Sunday after that is New Year's Eve. So I think our plan is to do a pod after the next game week concludes. Probably after the maybe I should have like actually thought this out. Brandon, before we start talking about this.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Exactly. Probably the middle, like that, the week of late December, we will get a pod out, probably looking ahead to that weekend's matches, because otherwise the turnaround is, I don't know what the audience is, Brendan, for the Always Shooting podcast on Christmas morning. I assume it's hundreds of thousands.
It's too
people.
Big.
That's the really problem is we don't want you to get in trouble listening to this podcast in front of your family. So as a public service, we will not record a Christmas Day pod. All right. Well, let's take I wanted to say a shout out to the Patreon. Patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to support the podcast, get access to the Discord. The Discord was nice and spicy this weekend, Brian, with all the spiciness that was happening. I was having some
many
fun,
chili peppers, yes.
In there. I was, some of my real thoughts about some of the drama that was happening spilled over into the Discord. Things I didn't want to say in the public Twitter forum. But you can talk with us. We do an extra podcast each week. So if you've enjoyed the podcast, or I don't know, you got a Christmas bonus or something, you want to say thank you, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Wanted to do a special shout out to our newest Patreon supporters. We got two this week, Jamie Duncan and Jason. thank you to Jamie Duncan. That sounds like three people, doesn't it, Brandon? But Jamie Duncan is the first person.
And then it's Jason from Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Friday the 13th. Yeah. He specifically said Jason from Friday the 13th part three. So that
You could have just said Jason Voorhees. It's fine. Yeah. We know who that is.
And it was that funny that he doesn't get the mask until three, though. And everyone iconically thinks of him as having the mask the entire time. But the first two, there's no hockey mask.
Well, it was proto Marvel. There was like many origin stories of Jason before he actually dons the famous mask.
Jason colon origins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll get back and talk about Game Week 18.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Brad, we're back. Game Week 18 kicks off on Thursday, December 21st. Palace and Brighton. A kind of pure watchish game, I would think. I mean, I don't know. Do you still have Gahee? I sold Gahee.
I had to get out of that car crash as quickly as possible. Gahee became Pau Torres a couple weeks ago. So yeah, this is a full on pure watch for me. And I guess my first piece of advice to any FPL managers listening is you should also make this a pure watch, Palace Brighton.
I think so. I think Brighton, I was surprised that Brighton, it's interesting that this is the week finally where we finally got clean sheets. There was a question from FPL Brooklyn. He said, are clean sheets back in FPL? And I don't think so, but I do wonder if there's a kind of exhaustion that's setting in. Like there's so many injuries right now, and you and I were talking about this before the pod, and sometimes I think we forget that there are eight Premier League clubs in Europe right now, right? Fully 40% of the Premier League.
Technically now we're down to six with Newcastle and Manchester United being ousted, but
that's true.
Up to this point, it's true. It has been eight teams, and all 18 would still be feeling the effects. I mean, it's certainly Newcastle is, even though they're out of Europe. So
totally
valid point. There was a little pedantry there for you.
No. But clubs that are either in it for the first time or don't have the squad depth to rotate, right? You know, Man City is Arsenal, maybe to a degree as well now. But you know, Liverpool almost maybe. But you know, there's a couple clubs that have enough squad depth that can like heavily rotate for Europe. As I think some of the other clubs have just been playing their top guys. I think Newcastle really wanted to have a go of it in the
tough group too.
Tough group too, exactly. Mm-hmm. Really tough group. And so I think that really hurt them. And I think that has to be a significant factor for why they've had so many injuries. Yes. I mean, I don't know that there's really an explanation beyond that, beyond just playing more matches. And it feels kind of fluky, right? Like I can't remember ever seeing a team this kind of banged up with injuries, right? It's like, we've seen Joe Linton and Char go out, and you're like, that's it. Like that's the entire, and even Trippier, right? He gets suspended, but then he got injured in the final Champions League match. And so I think that's kind of tricky. You have him in your squad still, right? Are you, you have to just go ahead and start him, right? For 18.
So that was part of my -4 going into game week 17 was Trippier out. And I brought in Colwell to afford to go up to Sun. So I have dodged.
Guess we should start posting each other's squads again.
No, it's all good. I mean, Trippier is a funny one because he, even after that yellow card suspension, I think people were transferring him in because he is having such a great fantasy season. He just does seem like a defender you'd want to keep and hold through the good times and the bad. And I'm sure he will come through later on. But now I would give anything to have Trent Alexander-Arnold in my fantasy team. Lord knows how I'm going to afford this guy and how to make that work. Can you tell me how to turn Levi Caldwell into Trent Alexander-Arnold?
Well, just don't get Holland back, I guess. Then it's very easy.
Yeah.
I mean, this does get to something, though, which is we are about to have a lot of extra money available to us in game week 21. Salah. And unfortunately, by the way, one of the most fun players you could have right now would be Kudus, the West Ham midfielder who had a brace today. He is about to leave in 4 weeks African Cup of Nations, for AFCON, and then the Asian Cup also takes place at basically the same window, almost effectively the same time frame. And so Son, Salah, Kudus, Onana,
Huang,
Mbomo if he's healthy, Vissa. So many players are going to be leaving in 3 weeks time, or I guess technically 4 game weeks from now. They'll be leaving for AFCON. And so they all got together and
said, we're not playing enough football. What can we do to play more football? And it was great idea, guys.
Yeah. And it's a little tricky to figure out. Yeah, I know. Exactly. It feels like there's so much happening right now. But I guess everybody got the summer off. Well, it didn't really help with injuries. I felt like, with the summer off, like everyone's going to be healthy. It's like the most injured season I can remember. Maybe they just have to keep playing all the time. It's like it's like these people who like never want to retire because they're like, oh, the second I retire, I'm going to pass away. Yes. And it's like that's these footballers. They just have to play twice a week, or they're just going to, their bodies are going to fall apart.
Sure.
So I think we're all going to have a little more money for players like Trent, because it's just going to be really hard to hold a 12.5 million Salah, a 10, whatever he is right now, Son, in your squad for 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. And both the South Korean team and the Egyptian team are both good enough to make the elimination rounds of both of their tournaments. Of course, you don't know how long that's going to be, but we also don't know if they would necessarily get right back into their squad. The last time that Salah went to the African Cup of Nations, he came back and basically played like 2 days later, and he really did not play well, right? Mm-hmm. He was sort of a kind of worse version of himself. And so I wonder if that is a factor that they consider, maybe just give him a little, they have a little more forward depth right now as well. And so you could play, I mean, obviously no one can replace Salah, but you at least have some options now who can, you can play a Diaz, Gakpo, Darwin front three, right? And that's like a workable thing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it is. I feel like to decide between Son and Salah is the choice I'll plan to make. Like, I will drop one of them and reinvest. And if you look at Liverpool's fixtures, like starting in February, Liverpool has Arsenal away, and then it's Burnley, Brentford, Luton, Forest. The fixtures are remarkably good. But you would say the same as Spurs, Brentford, Everton, Brighton, Wolves, Chelsea, Palace. It's tough. These guys are good. The fixture run is good. I just can't see myself dropping both of them, especially if Haaland ends up also being out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, the Haaland thing makes things very tricky as well, doesn't it? Because the worry, I guess, is just that this is going to be something that kind of dogs him all season. Right. Because I think it's the same ankle, right. That knocked him out for a game week, earlier on in the fall. So, or the autumn, if you will, Brandon. So I don't know. I mean, I think you just still have to get Haaland and hope that he's healthy, but it does add a little extra anxiety, I think, to our planning.
Do we have a question about Haaland? Can we talk a little bit more about Haaland right now?
Well, yeah, I just want to finish the clean sheet thought though for a second, which was we got pretty far away from it for a second there, but I do wonder if there is a level of exhaustion with all these teams playing in Europe, all of these injuries that have kind of come, I think, probably from that, at least to a degree. And maybe we do start to see some more clean sheets just because the kind of forwards, the attacking players, are maybe not at their best, right? And and maybe it's like the kind of attacking is like a little dulled, and maybe that leads to some more, I don't know. I mean, or it's just a kind of fluke thing. It was just very surprising that we finally got kind of everybody keeping a clean sheet, right? Liverpool, Man United, Spurs, Newcastle, and Arsenal all kept clean sheets. Only Man City, of course, who despite still having like the best defense, never seemed to keep them anymore. FPL wise, it was great. I don't know if it lasts. I mean, I think it probably lasts for literally 0 weeks because when you look at Liverpool and Arsenal playing each other on December 23rd, it's hard for me to see that being a nil-nil. That feels like a both teams are going to score kind of match to me.
Look at the rate at which clean sheets are coming. Just because we had clean sheets this week doesn't like dramatically change the rate at which they're coming into our fantasy team. So just like trust that process.
We all got clean sheets at the same time, and we're all going to go back to not getting them ever again.
Totally.
All right, so let's go to the Haaland question then. So a couple of questions here. I'll group them together. Leisure Rules asked, who are the best non-Haaland forwards to get us through the festive fixtures? And then Paul Goldsmith says, Haaland misses 18, then has game week 19 and 20, 2 days apart. Right? So important, two days apart. So if he is at all kind of injured, that is definitely a concern whether he's going to play 180 minutes, across 72 days or 72 hours. He has a stress injury in his right foot. Surely wait until Salah goes to bring him back in. So that is the question. Would you be willing to go without Erling Haaland for Sheffield United at home, Brandon?
I think I would. Especially if I have already transferred Haaland out, I would go that route. I have kept Haaland with the idea in my mind of there's no way we don't get more clarification during this Club World Cup. If Haaland doesn't play, then I am probably going to be planning on getting rid of Haaland in the next couple of weeks. If he is named to the bench or starts one of those matches, then I have a pretty clear idea that I'm going to keep Haaland for the rest of the season. So it's kind of cut and dry for me. I think the blank for game week 18 for Haaland is a blessing for those who have kept him because it is should be a really valuable data point for how you want to play him going forward. It becomes very stressful for the managers who have sold Haaland if we do get news, if we do see Haaland play at the Club World Cup, because then suddenly, Josh, all those other problems that you're looking to solve, now you feel like you have that sort of Damocles held over your head because of Haaland. But again, going back to the Sheffield United match, and it's coupled with Manchester City's, frankly, pretty horrible by their standards form, and they are not scoring in a free-flowing way the way they have in seasons past. And there are other captainable options, talking about our friends Mo and Son, who still have another 3 or 4 game weeks left to go. I think there are options to keep your team afloat that are beyond Haaland. So it doesn't feel like a life or death sort of decision, but it does feel like a really interesting strategic decision about keeping versus selling and so on. How are you feeling about your position having sold him?
Yeah, I guess, it goes back to what we talked about at the top of the pod. I guess I just feel like I don't need him for 19. But I just really, even if he doesn't play a minute, the idea of a team like Sheffield United playing Man City at home and not having Haaland is just, it's kind of unacceptable to me. Right. I mean, assuming that he's healthy and gets minutes and plays in 19, I mean, I guess the ideal situation, right? This is like, if everything worked out perfectly, would be, gets some minutes in the Club World Cup, comes back, comes off the bench in the Everton match, right? Gets 30 minutes. Then he's probably the most must buy than a player could ever be, right? Yeah. Ahead of game week 20. I guess the scariest version of the story is doesn't play a minute in the Club World Cup, comes back, plays a full 90.
Pictured in training. In the Everton match. The day before the deadline.
Yeah, plays the full 90 in the Everton match and looks gassed by the end of the match, right? Can looks like he's looks like he's barely hanging on. And then they play Sheffield 2 days after that. So that would be, I guess, the scarier version of it. I don't know. It's probably the narrative is probably not going to fit that neatly, right, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So, but I think going without him for game week 19 feels fine to me. I would say at the moment, I may or may not. I just feel like I'm like, the amount of injuries that I feel like I know I'm not alone here. I know a lot of people are going through this, but I feel like I haven't been able to make a strategic transfer in several weeks, right? Every single week, all I'm doing is just trying to get enough players out there, like to field a full 11, because there's just been so many injuries in my squad. And so that's kind of where I am right now, too. I mean, Isak moves to Holland really easily, so it's just whether I move him to Holland in 19 or 20. That's really what it comes down to for me. And, you know, the best non-Holland forwards to get you the festive fixtures. I mean, I think it starts and ends with Ollie Watkins, right? He is number one with a bullet. I am leaning towards captaining him in game week 18. You know, you can make a case for Salah just as a kind of perma captain home option, but I think you can make a really strong case for Watkins in game week 18. What about Nicholas Jackson? I mean, you gave a pretty strong case for Dominic Solanke earlier in the pod. Yeah. What about Nicholas Jackson? Would you consider him at all? They play Wolves. I mean, Wolves are Jose Sa may not even be ready, like healthy, to play this match. Yeah. So I don't know.
I would love a freeze frame on Nicholas Jackson's face when he scored that goal from the Cole Palmer assist. It was like he had that look on his face of like record scratch. You might be wondering how I got here.
He couldn't quite believe it, right?
He could not believe it. He just was staring at the linesman, just kind of like, it was almost like he didn't want to be there. It was very strange. Yeah. And then he's the camera throughout that match kept going over to Nkuku on the bench, which is sort of an exciting thing to come for Chelsea's starting 11. How does that impact how they want to set up the attack? And with each passing match, Cole Palmer looks absolutely undroppable for this attack. So then, I mean, Mudryk is completely the opposite. I think it's pretty straightforward what Pochettino is going to do. But Nicholas Jackson just doesn't seem like what we're looking for. He looks like the risk that you would take bringing on Gabriel Jesus. It feels like the same risks with Nicholas Jackson, but Gabriel Jesus is the far better player on the far, far better team right now. It's more money to spend.
That's a good call.
I've got Jackson at 6.9 and Gab Jesus is set at 7.9. So it's just a 1 million difference.
Okay.
It's not huge.
Yeah, but no, it's not huge. And what an interesting arc for Jackson. Back, yeah. I guess he fell all the way to 6.8. He started at 7, up to 7.1, down to 6.8, back at 6.9. I guess that's the right place for him. I mean, in the end, he has how many goals has he scored on the season, Brandon? He's scored.
I've got it right here. Yeah,
7. Yeah. Not terrible, really. I mean, if it hadn't been for the injury to Nkuku, he would have been this kind of sub. Like this forward who got subbed into matches, right? And it would have been like, oh, he's a player for next year. But I think in the end, it just hasn't looked pretty. But he's had an okay return, all things considered.
Yeah, it is a little flattering, that result against Spurs where he had that sort of like just happened to be there hat trick where he was just finishing all of these things on a platter, including the goal today against Sheffield United. So. But the goal, a goal is a goal is a goal. Van Nistelrooy took them as well.
Yeah, but just on the forward front, I think maybe you just have to go with two at the moment and just kind of punt on that. I mean, unless you really want, I mean, I think Solanke also, I mean, I'm totally happy to vouch for him as a pick. I think just looking up and down the Premier League though, right? I think the situation with Isak and Wilson, they're both just too good, right? It just makes it like too hard to have either one in fantasy because they just rotate too much. And Wilson, you know, he came back a little sooner than I was expecting, to be honest, as well. He has now played, you know, he's had two starts in a week, which is kind of a lot for him. So if there's even a chance that Isak is going to start this game week 18 match, I'm just going to have to hold him and hope for more news over the next couple of days.
Now there's
I wouldn't recommend anybody buy him.
No. And speaking of not recommending, but there is a very cheap option that we haven't mentioned yet that jumps down to GP's question. Is it time for most of us to stop ignoring Everton? And Dominic Calvert-Lewin has started the last three matches after coming back from injury. He has just one assist in those three matches and he struggles with the X minutes, but 5.8, I think he becomes a kind of interesting option if you want just a placeholder for Holland. If you're doubtful about that, You want to get some minutes out of a team that's kind of in form. So I guess overall, do we want to kind of talk about what's going on with Everton right now? Their upcoming fixtures, Spurs coming up in game week 18, followed by Manchester City at Goodison Park, Wolves, Aston Villa, Fulham, and then Spurs and City again in game weeks 23 and 24.
Yeah, I think, on the one hand, I was going to say, well, maybe we missed a window to get their defenders in, right? Because they've kept clean sheets in four consecutive matches. But on the other hand, they've played some pretty difficult matches in that time. I mean, Forest away is often it's been a tricky match for a lot of clubs, especially for even just in terms of clean sheets. Newcastle at home. I mean, even though it's a kind of banked up Newcastle team, that was still a really nice 3-0 win for them. Chelsea at home, another clean sheet, Burnley away. So, I don't love the next two matches, but long term, I think it's just crazy. I mean, it's just so funny because I had Pickford early on this season. I had him for his 2-pointer, 0-pointer, 2-pointer, 1-point. It was like I had him for the own goal. It's such a long season. You think back and you're like, was that this season? I think the potential was always there because they have a number of strong players in their defense and they have a good manager, right? Or they have a good defensive manager anyway. And it seems like they finally started to figure things out. It's a shame that Mike Alenko has this muscle injury because he's the one that I think is the most tempting out of those options, but they're all really cheap. I mean, Tarkowski would be one of the safest players you could buy if you're wildcarding, for example, right? Like if you're one of these game week 20 wildcarders, I think Tarkowski would be a real candidate for your squad because he's 4.4 million. He just kind of sits at the end of your bench, you know, really easily and can kind of sub in over the course of the next 15 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, and he's playing well. And to make Michael Keane also look like a decent center back, I think you got to give Tarkowski some of the credit there too. I like that pick. I did not actually realize he was 4.4. Okay. Because I used to think Pickford was the only pick of the bunch here. I like that price.
Yeah. And even Mike Alenko, once healthy, right? So maybe he's fine in a week or two. Only 4.6, which isn't bad either, right? So I think in terms of the Calvert-Lewin in the forward, in the midfield, though, like Decore now has an injury concern, hamstring, which is just like the thing I like. If there's one thing I don't want to have in one of my fantasy players, it's a hamstring injury, right? They just like, they never seem to go away, right? It's just like, it's always a risk. They have to be managed really carefully. So Decore is out now. And Calvert-Lewin, I think talk about injuries, right? This guy is just like a walking injury concern. So although he has, to be fair, he's played a lot this season, but
you have to struggle to notice that he's playing, sadly.
Yeah. Just 3 goals in 17 matches. So it's not an amazing return from him. All right. So let's see. What else are we? Yeah. So I think we are not ignoring Everton any longer, but we're also not strongly recommending anybody for the next couple of weeks. So what a boring answer that is, Brandon. Amar V has a question for us. It says, is it worth taking a hit for a goalkeeper transfer? It's a spot that I am finding myself in at the moment.
Okay. Means it is never, you would agree with this, Josh, it's never worth taking a hit for a goalkeeper if you have a starting goalkeeper, even if he's Flecken, even if he's like the worst keeper in the league. If you have no keepers to play, in your situation, maybe you're thinking you just got to rip the Band-Aid off and resolve this and bring in a keeper that you'd be happy to start every week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what I'm thinking. And that is sort of, you know, whether I go with a -4 or -8 in some ways comes down to that decision. I think the player... Now, on the one hand, of course, Dubravka is like feels like a strong candidate. I do want to look a little more into just how long that we think that Pope's going to be out for, right? I think that's the one concern is I just don't trust Howe at all, right? I mean, he's not giving anything even close to reliable information about any of these players, right? Wilson was supposed to be out for months, right? He was out for three weeks. It's just everything he says is a lie, right? And so it's like, it's hard to know what's going on with Pope either, right?
The latest quote from Eddie on Nick Pope was, there's no doubt he needs an operation. So he will be out for a period of time, we think, for around 4 months. It's the same shoulder as previous, but a different part. Ben Dinnery has him listed as an April 13 return, but that doesn't diminish anything that you've just said. It's true, Eddie Howe, his main currency is lies. So, but I think it's safe.
Yeah, if it's that late, that probably does elevate Dubrovka in my eyes a little bit. And also, I mean, you know, they even though they have so many injuries, they have a nice match, right? I mean, they play. I mean, half the Premier League plays them as well, of course, in Game Week 18. But they play Luton Town in Game Week 18, and so it's a nice, you know, and I don't know. So I feel like, you know, now would be. Given that they're playing Luton in 18, given that some of us don't have a keeper, I'm just wondering, you know, like maybe we should be resolving these keepers. Like maybe the like received wisdom on transferring goalkeepers needs to be rethought a little bit, because I have had an absolutely terrible experience with my goalkeepers so far this season. And I'm kind of like you. I'm like, oh, I never want to waste a transfer on a goalkeeper. And it's like, but instead I've just had these terrible keepers that don't get saves and don't get clean sheets. Right. And it's like, give me one or the other, like at least, you know. So I think Dubrovka and Leno are the only two that I think are probably worth a -4. I mean, I guess you could look at like an Emi Martinez type keeper. He's just a little too expensive. He's more than I would ever spend on a keeper. So when you're kind of in that kind of 4.5, what I mean, maybe Leno's up to like 4.6 now or something like
that. He's 4.7 now.
See, I might just be too high now. So I guess let's just make this really easy. You have Martin Dubrovka. He's 4.2. I mean, honestly, I should have just bought him a few weeks ago, but he's 4.2. I think he probably makes the most sense. And because they are a strong defensive team, they have a couple tough matches coming up in they play Liverpool and Man City back-to-back weeks in 20 and 21. Mm-hmm. But even then, you would imagine that he's going to make a bunch of saves in those matches, right? So, and anyway, when you're making a keeper transfer, you shouldn't be focused too much on the like immediate, you know, like a tough fixture ahead, right? Yeah, you just kind of look at them as a long-term buy.
Yeah, and I do think Pickford is also should be lumped in here. I mean, he's at 4.4, very cheap. Look at his returns in the last four matches, all wins for Everton against Burnley, Chelsea, Newcastle, Forest. Seven points, 10 points, 6 points.
Yeah,
I think he might be my top pick if you don't want to go up to 4.7 for Leno.
Yeah, I just can't forgive him yet.
Yeah, you started the season with him and it was a disaster there, true.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see. One more question, Brandon, before we go to our kind of final thoughts on Game Week 18. Jozo says, any advice for those of us who have hoarded up our wild cards? Right, so if you've held on to your wild card, you've got a couple more weeks still to use them. I know that a lot of people are looking at Game Week 20. So you have 18, I think 18, 19, and 20 are the final 3 weeks to use your wild card. God, and congrats. If you were able to hold on this long, Brandon, what incredible self-control you have, you know, to last this long with your wild card.
Have you given up hope on the Game Week 20 double possibly for City and Brentford? Has that ship sailed? I would assume so at this point.
Yeah, there was some. I saw Ben Krellen doing some like tea leaves reading about something that Pep had mentioned that they might have. You know, they might play that match in January, but it feels like at this point it's getting pretty tight, right? Because that Game Week 20 is basically like a week and a half from now, right? It's like, you know, and so it's pretty tight, especially when you consider away tickets and police presence and all that stuff. So I don't think it's likely at this point. Although again, the January fixtures are really spread out. So, you know, I guess you could play it and then put it like in 21 maybe. But let's table the double for right now, because we don't know, you know.
Well, here, just getting back to the heart of the question, I feel like the festive fixture is a very hard time to play that wild card because there is the fixture pile up and you see some rotations some of the time. So I think in playing your wild card in the festive period, you go with the very reliable players who have those high X minutes and you feel like they are fairly rotation proof.
Yeah, and I think waiting until the festive fixtures are kind of wrapping up, so like 20 does feel like the best, right? Like wait as long as you can, you have as much information as you can. But Brendan, if we just do cast a glance ahead to the next 7-8 weeks, I think a Fulham defender would make a lot of sense. Probably, I think Anthony Robinson, who's been playing great, would be a strong contender there. They have a lot of solid home fixtures over the next few weeks, right? Burnley at home, Everton at home, Bournemouth at home, Burnley away, and Bournemouth. It's weird the way they've this weird. I don't know why they like this. The seesaw is happening so fast where it's Burnley, Bournemouth, Burnley, Bournemouth in 18, 19, 23, and 24. So, but I think a Fulham defender would make some sense. If you could try to find a way to get a Villa triple up, I think that would also be something worth considering. The question would be whether you want to trust Leon Bailey. I mean, obviously he had this injury, immediately came on and got an assist. So I think he'd be somebody to consider as well. He's super cheap and he's been playing incredibly well. So maybe like Villa defender, Bailey, Watkins, I think that'd be a trio I would look at.
I like that. I mean, Villa are the real deal for sure. And the sooner Emery's in a position where he never has to play Matty Cash again, I think they'll be even better. Like, what a miserable season that guy is having.
I know. I think Jared Bowen makes a lot of sense. He's the one midfielder who's not like in the Premier League, it seems like, who's not leaving for AFCON or the Asia Cup. So, I think he would be another finally got a goal today. He's been kind of threatening for a few weeks. And, so Bowen, obviously Haaland, Cole Palmer, maybe a Chelsea defender. I think one big question that I don't know that I have a great answer to is, how many Arsenal players I would want. Like if I were wildcarding over the next couple of weeks, would I want, it feels like, I mean, partially you do have to think a little bit about ownership across the fantasy game, right? And like when Arsenal kept a clean sheet today, it was an absolute killer for my rank, right? So many people have at least an Arsenal defender, if not multiple Arsenal defenders. And so, you know, outside of this Liverpool match in game week 18, it's a pretty nice run for them over the next few weeks. West Ham, Fulham, Palace, Forest. So, I think you could make an argument for having at least one Arsenal defender on a wild card as well.
Definitely. And yes, I think Saka is a guy we've been dancing around for the last 2 months, and he will be the guy we talk about the most when Son and Salah start leaving our teams. So I'm excited, frankly. Top of the table, league leaders. Let's get him in our fantasy squads, shall we?
I know. I feel like we've dodged a bullet with him the last few weeks, right? Yeah. He's got like one assist. That's it. So I know he got, like, I actually thought, I was kind of surprised he didn't get the assist on that goal today. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the highlights of it, but it was sort of a flicked-on header. Yeah.
You've seen him given, haven't you?
Yep, you've seen them given for sure. Yeah. All right, Brandon, final thoughts on Game Week 18. Captaincy. I mentioned leaning towards Watkins as my Game Week 18 captain pick. I just think he kind of makes the most sense. I could see Arsenal giving Salah a little bit of trouble in that match. Obviously, we don't have a Man City player to captain for 18. What are you thinking right now for Game Week 18's captaincy?
If I look at my bus team right now, I have Watkins captain, and I have Salah vice captain. Son, I like as an option, always with the home fixture. I just wonder with that Spurs-Everton match where Everton are going to play a little bit more compact and make it a little bit more difficult for Spurs to attack and sort of play contrary to them, where Liverpool and Arsenal will be both two very attacking teams going out after each other. It could be more open and it'll create opportunities for Salah. So, for me, it's between Watkins and Salah, and I favor Watkins right now.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. I mean, I think the only concern is a little bit of X fun factor because Villa play on Friday. It's a little early. It's sort of like captain and player in the early match. But I think that's like obviously a little silly. And I think just given who they're playing, given just how incredibly consistent he's been, also factoring in how well Villa have played at home this season, it's hard to not see that as a pretty dominant match for Villa. And I don't know. I mean, sure. I mean, Sheffield United will try to, you know, I'm sure they'll try to low block them and do as much as they can to shut up shop. But I just don't think they can do it. Right. I don't think they have the ability to keep Villa out in that match.
I thought, a team sitting deep, Brentford played kind of differently in all various phases of play, but when they sat deep, Pau Torres was getting so far forward like he was Antoine Rudiger, and he was playing great attacking balls into the 18, and he was racking up the bonus points like he was Trippier or something like that. I I just think he's a really interesting pick, especially for these games where Villa are just going to bully teams.
Yeah. I like Torres too. I think he's like ninth on my list. Like I want to get him. There's so many other props. Honestly, you know, if I was talking about making a you could do worse than if you're going to take a -4, make it a -4 for a Villa defender. It has a kind of logic to it because it's just hard to see a scenario where they're not more likely to keep a clean sheet than this home match to Sheffield, right? Like Man City haven't been able to score there. Arsenal have not been able to score there. And, you know, a fluky thing can always happen, right? Ball bounces the wrong way. Corner kick finds the right player. But in general, it feels like there's a pretty strong chance that Villa keep a clean sheet that match. So if you're in a spot where you just need people to field for game week 18, I think that a -4 for someone like Torres has a kind of logic to it for sure.
Yeah, captaincy is done and dusted. I think we're kind of zeroing in there. The X Dog in Him, brought to you by the hit movie Strays. Check out your nearest Redbox. We love physical media on this podcast.
That's how we're watching
Strays for sure.
It's on Laserdisc too, Brandon. We shouldn't sell Laserdisc short. You know,
I'll be hanging out in my dad's basement for Christmas, going through all the greatest Laserdiscs from RoboCop to GoldenEye. GoldenEye, exactly. So when you're looking at these fixtures, Josh, who's got that XDIH factor?
Yeah, it's a good question. I sort of bigged up him already, and so it feels like kind of a boring answer. But I do think Leon Bailey has a lot of potential for this match. I think that he got his like little kind of injury rest recovery moment. Mm-hmm. He's been playing so well though, and I just think Villa are really going to be dominant in that Sheffield United match. And I think Bailey, who another player by the way, kind of like Jordan Pickford, I had Leon Bailey for a lot of last season, and he was not a fun player. But I was always kind of rooting for him, right? He's from the North American continent. You know, that's sort of fun. I like to root for my North American players. And so, Jamaica, that's part of North America, right?
We could just call it CONCACAF anyway.
Yeah, I guess it's Latin America, actually. It's not North America at all. Brandon, you have to forgive me. I'm on a lot of cold medicine right now.
You're fine. No one's coming here for geography lessons. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Bailey.
I like that pick too. And Bailey has been like the standout pick, I think, for the last 4 weeks. Credit to our friend Mark Southerns, who jumped on him pretty early doors. I will call out what will be the match of the game week, Liverpool v Arsenal, for all sorts of reasons. I think Darwin Nunez might have that X Dog in Him, and owners will be beyond impatient with Darwin at this point. But as I said, I think this game is probably it's either going to be 0-0 or it is going to be 10-10. And if it's the latter, I think Darwin Nunez owners will be rewarded unless Klopp decides to go with Gakpo. But I like Darwin with that XDIH.
Okay. Wow. I mean, that is a real zig when everybody else is zagging. Kind of. We didn't even talk about him as a forward option.
Well, the DIH.
How can you recommend
someone
buy him though?
It's not a recommendation that you actually play them. It's just this is a vibes check right here.
Yeah. If you can only watch one match this weekend, what should you watch? I mean, I suppose the obvious answer would be Liverpool Arsenal, but just to go off the board a little bit, I think this Wolves Chelsea Christmas Eve match could be kind of fun. Wolves, another team that have been a lot better at home than away. And Chelsea are a real, like, you never kind of know what you're going to get any given day with them. I think that could be kind of fun. It's also just unique to have a Christmas Eve match. So 8 in the morning, bright and early here in the U.S. So I think that could be kind of a fun one.
It's kind of an incredible opportunity for Wolves, if you go back to your North American comment, to garner a lot of new fans outside of England, because there are a lot of American Chelsea fans who will be getting their young children out of bed to watch this match at 8 a.m.
That's true.
And their kids will, hate their parents for that and decide to root for the team that is
well,
not
if
Chelsea.
Their kids, if their kids are anything like mine, they'll be up well before I am, which is always the case with our 7-year old, always up a solid 90 minutes before I even like before my alarm even goes off.
Nice. Well, we'll put out the Cheerios for your kid and make sure they know how to tune in to Wolves v Chelsea. I like that pick. I do think that's going to be a good game. And Gary O'Neill, I can't believe that I thought Bournemouth were a bunch of doofuses for sacking Gary O'Neill for this this guy from La Liga, who now it turns out is the real genius, and Gary O'Neill is actually a Gary O'Neill.
I think they're both good. I think you're making this too binary. Yeah. I think that Areola is who you're thinking of.
Yes, right.
But I think Gary O'Neill's done a very, very good job there as well. I think he's made Wolves a lot more fun than they had been the last couple of seasons.
Yes. They could really use a string of wins like they were having earlier in the season. So yeah, I'm rooting for you, Gary. Let's have everybody win.
Yeah, everybody win. All right. Well, that is that's your pod. Brandon, this cold medicine is taking over for me. So can you take us home here with a thank you to our Patreons?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, God. No, I'm dying too.
To you. Wow. Yeah. I transferred it via the internet.
Of course. If you love Always Cheating, if you love what you hear and you want to say thanks in return, as you can find multiple levels of support at patreon.com/always cheating. The big part of that is we do give you an extra free ad-free podcast every week and access to the Discord chat forum. Producer, thank yous. Our top pledgers, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Bobas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodol, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobs, and Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Vulgar, Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislov, Noah Louise, Travis Grant, Linus Fenerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner, Fro Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, Lolly, Ben Coombs, Eric Kite, and Gareth H. Listen, if Patreon's not for you, give us one more for the road in 2023. Give us 5 stars, or rate us, review us wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media, because there's no better way to have a nuanced conversation about football, soccer, and fantasy game than social media.
So true.
For all this information and more, please visit our website, alwayscheating.com. Josh, best of luck getting over this cold. You'll be in fighting shape for game week 18 and the holidays thereafter. Mm-hmm. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, everything. Bye.
All of it.